content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors. Great companies like Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. From the sun to the plant to you, go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all the products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic combining spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Find Terraflora and the full line of products at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, the new standard in pet food, the only complete line of USDA organically certified pet food. Crazy Water, infused by Mother Nature, not some random factory. Paleo Magazine, now all digital. Go to paleomagazine.com to subscribe. The Wellbeing Journal, Veg World Magazine, the International Society of Sports Nutrition, and Thorn Research. Visit our dispensary at oneliferadio.com for 20% off and free shipping. You can find more information on all of our sponsors, including links to listener discounts, on the oneliferadio.com sponsor page. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Higher, baby. You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in sunny Southern California on ABC News Talk. It's pretty sunny here, too, though, isn't it, Ronaldo?
It really is. Definitely is today. Yes. How are you doing today, Bernadette?
God. I'm good. Yet I've got up super early this morning, like with the sunrise, I have to say, and it was wonderful. I've already got all my chores done. My house is completely clean. I even had a little party last night for a dear friend of mine who turned 30 years old, and I had to remind her how young she really is. But anyway, we had fun, and it was just a very small party, and we had pizza and salad and birthday cake and, you know, ice cream and all the traditional stuff. But it was nice. It was nice to get together and see all their kids. And they hadn't been together in a while, so it was nice. And we kept it, you know, social distancing and all that respectfully. And we didn't go in the house. We kept it outdoors. But it was really nice. It was nice.
Yeah, sounded fun.
Have you done anything since the last time I talked to you yesterday at the end of the show?
No, just wrestling with my son. He's starting to go to sleep around sunset and wake up around sunrise. So,
oh yeah, that's what we talked about yesterday, being in sync with the earth. Oh, which by the way, that reminds me, because I never did say the name of the device that my daughters both use when they go out of town. Well, one of them's too young, but it's her older sisters. But anyway, it's called the Pet Cube. And you set it up anywhere in your house, and it can eject treats, and your pets can hear you. And so I think it's a really good device, especially right now as people, I was thinking about this morning, people going back to work and how they could utilize a device like that to ease their pets' anxieties, mm-hmm. right? And still give them treats when they're going back to work, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. And, of course, we want you to use Castor and Pollux treats because they are the best. They're organic, and they also are our official pet sponsor. So I don't know how to transition into this, but, you know, we've got a great show coming up today. We do. Mo Brossette will be on at the half. He's going to be talking about going after what you want. And we have Robin Perry Braun, I believe, on the line. Are you there, Robin?
I am.
How you doing today?
I'm well. I'm doing really well.
Good.
Busy day in Dallas today.
Oh yeah, because you're in town. You come up from Austin like a couple days a month, right? To work your practice.
Yeah, about a week a month. I used to come about every week, and now it's down to about a week a month. So.
Well, you know what? It's good to hear your voice, and it's good to have you in town. Maybe we'll get to see one another, but you've been on the show for a very long time. And for those of you maybe listening for the first time, Robin Perry Braun, she holds a master's in psychology, is a holistic energy practitioner who has also worked with sexual addictions for over 18 years. She is an emotion code, an integrated life process practitioner, ordained minister, author, and speaker. She has created her own certified energy modality and holds trainings live and online. She does virtual sessions all over the world and uses a holistic approach to address mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical issues. Her website is integratedlifestrategies.com. That's integratedlifestrategies.com. Okay, Robin, today we're talking about the importance of the family dinner. This is one of my favorite topics. I am obsessed with the family dinner. I have been. Mostly because I think, you know, I just was raised that way. I was raised Catholic. I was raised half Italian, half Irish, although I think the Italian had a little more clout in the family because my dad was like my big fat Greek wedding, except we were Italian, you know, same
right.
kind of thing.
Right.
But yeah, so, you know, why is the tradition of dining together so important in history? And what are some of the things that dining together meant historically? And what are some of the things that we can learn from dining as a family? And what do children learn from their parents at the dinner table? I know that's a lot of questions in a row, but I just
it's
love
a lot
the family
of questions,
dinner.
Sure. Well, you know, just historically, it was, you know, no matter how hard they worked, no matter what their work routine was, they always, back thousands of years, they got together and dined together. And actually, in the Jewish tradition, you could not sit down and dine with somebody if you had unforgiveness towards them. So there,
I love that.
If you know the Jewish culture, they are very strong about their, you know, religion, their beliefs, their laws, and they take them very, very seriously. And so what was important in any Jewish tradition is, you know, one, they did Shabbat together every Friday night. Mm-hmm. That was like a feast. I mean, it was important. You followed it exactly. It was a very important time to be together. But one of the things in their religion is you could not sit at the table and have a meal with somebody if you had unforgiveness towards them. And so it really facilitated, you know, reconciliation, communication, conflict resolution, because they truly believed it was a sin to mm-hmm. sit down and have an odd in your heart and hold, you know, offense. And I know that that would not only have been in their culture, that probably mm-hmm. without knowing, having researched a lot of other cultures, that probably would be in many cultures. That mm-hmm. you didn't dining was a big deal together. You were bonding, you were covenanting. It was a covenantal agreement. You know, the whole thing with the Last Supper with Jesus and the communion, that there was covenantal meaning into why that was in the Bible and why that was so important mm-hmm. that they had this supper together, you know.
I love it. And I've actually seen it firsthand. You know, my second husband was Jewish. It's Jewish. That was, he's alive. I've always loved how they, how they live their lives, really. So many lovely things about the Jewish culture that we can all learn from, and other cultures too, but we all learn from one another. But I think that is so critical to bring in, put a highlight on that the act of forgiveness and how important that is in a family that's well-structured and, what do I want to say here, Robin? A family that is just, you know, a family that eats together and prays together, stays together, right? And they forgive one another.
Right.
It's the Lord's Prayer, basically.
Yeah.
Act it out.
Absolutely.
Right?
That's it.
Yeah.
The Lord's Prayer. Okay. Forgive us our sins. Bread, daily bread. That's about dining, too. It's provision, but it's also about provision together, you know, for sure.
I love it. Go ahead.
I think to answer one of the other questions, one, children learn by what their parents model. And so they learn how to have adult conversations by listening to adults have conversations. They learn how to have, you know, critical thinking and like debate or disagreement on topics by practicing with somebody who is good at that. Now, that's good and bad, because if the adults are not very mature in their conversation, the kids learn that as well. But they still learn how to debate, to discuss, to have opinions, to communicate, to express opinions. by what's modeled in them. And very often in a busy family, the only time they're going to see that is sitting at a table where there's no TV on, everybody's not on their phones nowadays, but it really was sometimes the only time that children fully interacted with both their mother and father at the same time, you know, mm-hmm. in a traditional family. So there's a lot of modeling that goes on in that kind of sacred routine of the family dinner. And then also the reciprocal of it may be the only time the kids really get to tell their parents how they're feeling, what happened that day at school. You know, it may be the only really safe place for them mm-hmm. to interact with their whole family in a, you know, in a healthy way.
Well, and I think the importance of cooking the meal together is taking it another step further. Why should any sure. one person just be stuck doing all the work in the kitchen? And that goes for the dishes too. You know, we always yeah. set the table together and we always did the dishes together. My dad and I both love doing the dishes. I've talked about this many times on the air. And so we found ourselves the ones that did the dishes at the end, but we didn't mind it. But, you know, it teaches so many examples about pitching in. Again, you know, everybody pitching in for a common cause, and that yeah. is the happiness of the family and the security yeah. of the family. Another thing that it yeah. does too, and I was actually reading this yesterday, and it was it's from the Epic Times, 6 everyday ways to raise intellectually curious children. One of the things in this 6 on this list was to ask questions at the dinner table, which will make children yes. think that don't just stick to how was your day, ask deep questions, yeah. questions that maybe you don't even know the answer to, causing children to ponder deep thoughts that will challenge their minds and introduce them to being independent thinkers, something often squelched by today's institutional schools.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, that was my truth growing up, is we had adult conversations. I was the baby and we had intellectual adult conversations. I learned how to converse with adults intellectually mm-hmm. as a young child, because that was our conversation. And I like the cooking thing. I think the other thing, really from a brain chemistry standpoint, if you understand this idea of what fires together, wires together, it's a common saying in psychology. So when we're eating a meal, we get all kinds of, you know, dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin released, because food just does that to us, right? It feels mm-hmm. good. We feel good, whether it's comfort food or whatever it is, we feel satisfied with eating. So in that moment when we're feeding, we are joyful, right? Because eating is usually joyful. So when we're with our family and we're in a state of joy, we create what's called joy bonds. And sometimes the only time we get to create joy bonds is in that setting. If we have super busy families and we don't go to movies together, to the park together, to the lake together, vacation together, whatever it looks like, for whatever reason, we can at least do that every day consistently, you know, around that dinner table, you know, experience. So subtly, there is a bonding that takes place because eating feels good.
Well, it does feel good. And we're going to go to break. That's a great place to go to break. And we've got lots more coming up. We're going to be talking about why making eye contact is so important and a lot of other things. Stay tuned, everyone. More coming up with Robin Perry Braun, The Importance of the Family Dinner. You are listening to One Life Radio. Thank you so much, Ronaldo Davis. Welcome. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette, as I said, with Ronaldo Davis, and we are on the line with Robin Perry Braun. She holds a master's in psychology and is a holistic energy practitioner who has also worked with sexual addictions for over 18 years. She is an emotion code and integrated life process practitioner, ordained minister, author, and speaker, and she has created her own certified energy modality and holds trainings live and online. She does virtual sessions all over the world and uses a holistic approach to address mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical issues. You can find her at integratedlifestrategies.com. We're talking about the importance of the family dinner. Okay, right before the break, I said we were going to talk about eye contact. This is another one of my favorite things. I spoke to my daughter from the moment I had her, of course, but I mean, when she became a toddler, I remember both she and her, me and her father, really emphasizing with her the importance of eye contact. But I want to hear it from you. What is the importance of teaching eye contact to children?
Okay, so they did a study and they hooked a brain scan up to an infant and the mother, and the mother was basically breastfeeding the child. And in that study, they did a left-eye-to-left-eye communication, so your left eye is connected to your right brain. And what they found is that the same exact places in the mother fired in the brain, and those same exact places fired in the infant. Now, there was no verbal communication going on at all. So basically, right, what they were trying to establish, this is even long before we understood energy medicine, but just that the brain, the thoughts of the mother were communicating via the eye to the child through eye contact, and that child was feeling and experiencing the exact same thoughts and emotions as the mother in that moment. And so, you know, what I say is, I say, you can't hide your anxiety and your stress. Your children will absorb it. Now, I'll teach it more from literally an energy field where they're absorbing it. But this study proved that there's a lot of communication going on when we make eye contact. It's just subconscious. We don't realize it. And so looking at your children in the eyes can be good and bad. It depends on what's in your heart. What are you communicating? What is your intention? But your kids are reading. Their brain is reading your brain. If you'll call it that way, it's like computer communication networking when you make eye contact. And so being intentional and deliberate when you're having conversations, you're looking in the eye. There's an act of respect when we look in the eye. What are we taught in cultures is that like a servant would never look in their master's eyes, like it would be disrespectful. So as an adult communicating with a child, you're basically, you know, expressing a form of dignity and empowerment and support of that child when you make eye contact. Whether you're correcting them or encouraging them, it's still basically a way of developing their sense of self-esteem, their sense of worth or value, because you're looking at them, you know, in the eyes when you communicate, and you're modeling that to them.
Yeah. Well, and I would go so far as to say that I believe it's an effective tool for success, because you need to look people straight in the eye when you speak to them. And if you don't, it's just not healthy for a lot of different reasons, I believe. And, you know, and absolutely, that's one of the things and not all women can breastfeed. So I'll say that out of the gate. But that's one of the reasons that breastfeeding is so important, too, because that's really where it begins, when you're holding that child and nurturing that child and feeding it at your breast and looking straight into their eyes. And it's the most beautiful feeling in the world, if you've ever experienced it or not. But it is an important process, I think, in rearing a child.
And even with a bottle, that you're making eye contact while your bottle is feeding the child, it really is the same. I mean, you get different nutrition from your natural milk, but just saying, the communication, the bonding, the expression of whatever's in your heart towards your child. And the reason I use breastfeeding too is there's a bonding chemical called oxytocin that goes on during breastfeeding. So there is an attachment, you know, an additional attachment benefit to being able to breastfeed. My generation, I don't know about you, but my parents' generation didn't breastfeed at all. It was not done. So I wasn't breastfed. They just didn't do it in where my mother's culture and generation. She didn't know anybody who breastfed. So I guess it depends on the part of the country and kind of the, you know, what was trending at that time. So
I don't know if my mother did it initially or not, but my mother was a career woman. So, you know, my dad was kind of like the mom. he was the one that did most of the cooking. Their roles were very reversed. He was an entrepreneur, and, you know, she supported the family with her income, and she did really well, and she was very well educated. And so, yeah, it's kind of different in all families. And some people can't breastfeed. I didn't do it successfully for very many weeks the first time. The second time, yes, but, and so, yes, the bottle is, it's the same thing, except for, of course, the oxytocin and some other, you know, minor things. But, you know, back to the family dinner, what are some of the things that really happen at the family dinner?
Well, I think where this is so relevant right now, I just had a client, and, you know, one of the things we identified is just some loneliness, simply because she's not having as many lunches with her friends, and her lifestyle has changed a little bit. But what we miss is that the attractor field of the heart. The heart is thousands of times more powerful than the brain in its electromagnetic attraction. And when we're physically in the presence of another person, we feel their heart energy. We feel a connection. We feel a charge. Our body is charged by their energy, good or bad. And so with a lot of this COVID and this quarantining where we're not socializing, is people aren't realizing the accumulative toll it takes. Zooming is great, but we're not physically picking up to the degree because energy is remote, but we're not picking up the same energy as when we're literally close in proximity to somebody else's heart. And so I think that what happens at the family dinner table is that all of this community of what we would, which tribe or community we call our family, we are all in a heart space of each other's heart energy. And that's a very real scientific electromagnetic thing that our heart is giving off that energy. And so there's like, you know, the sum is greater than the whole of the parts. There's so many things that go on in that dynamic of simply being present to one another where you're physically, you know, connected, that you may not be conscious of, but it energetically it's creating bonds and communications and energizing and, you know, I've talked about entrainment before, synchronizing with another person because of, you know, the same frequency. There's all those things going on that are very intangible. And yet we're seeing right now just this huge heightened fear and anxiety that seems to be going on everywhere. And I do believe one of the components is that this social isolation has cumulatively now taken a toll on people.
Oh, absolutely. I say everyone. And, you know, again, I was reading yesterday, and this is an article, A Loving Nudge Toward Healthier Habits. And I was kind of alarmed at what I read. It said that television viewing has increased to 41 hours a week on average, up almost 30%, that Americans spend twice as much money online shopping since the pandemic began. For eight consecutive weeks, beer sales have toppled $1 billion it's the highest ever in the history of this country. Cigarette smoking has made a comeback during the pandemic. Video games have increased 50%. Unhealthy sleep patterns have emerged for 67% of Americans, and 76% of Americans have gained weight from mid-March up to 16 pounds so far. So having read all that, you know, I feel that the family dinner can really help heal all of those things. That's how powerful I feel it is.
I agree. I think it's super important. Hopefully I do see people starting to value relationship more than they have before because they're not taking it for granted. I would love to get those statistics from you. I'll text you separately about that. But that's such a great study because people don't understand the cumulative effects of such a radical disconnect, social disconnect from what our normal lifestyle was. And some of that may have been too much. And there's, you know, maybe the pendulum now will swing back to the middle with a nice balance. But those are alarming statistics, and we need to remedy some kind of relational improvement, regardless of what the, you know, the restrictions have been placed on, you know, on our daily lives in this season. So.
Yeah, and it's hard. It's really hard for I think everybody's just, you know, we're tired. We're weary. And it's not over with yet. And then there's the presidential election here in the upcoming months. And people are so politically charged and so angry. None of that is good for your heart or your soul or your mind.
No.
None of it's good. And so the family
or collective
dinner.
Consciousness, yeah.
Yes, yes, but I really feel like the family dinner, I know for me personally, it just brings me to a place, even if it's just one time a day, that I look forward to where I sit down, sometimes with both of my daughters right now, just my youngest one, unless my other daughter would love to come over for dinner, which would be great if she would do that tonight, if she's listening. no pressure, but
what are you cooking?
I don't know yet. I might take them grocery shopping with me too. I came up with this new dish. I was influenced by a Latino friend of mine who came over for a chat, and she had like a bowl of zucchini and onion and tomatoes in like this stew. And you know, I don't eat meat, so I was like, oh my gosh, that looks so good. And so anyway, and I sauteed it in olive oil. It's a very simple recipe. Maybe I'll take a picture the next time I make it in the upcoming weeks and put it on our social media, One Life Radio One. But the thing is, my daughter and I cooked it together, my youngest one, and then we served it on a bed of rice. And we had so much fun eating it and just sitting there. And we typically will watch The Office or Parks and Rec. And when you think we get sick of it, we've been watching it for so many years, reruns over and over. Once in a while, we'll start a movie. But the importance of that connection with my baby, you know, before I send her off to college in a couple of years, you know, if she decides to go, I'm hoping she might start her own business instead and stay close to home. But I'm really having separation. what do they call it when you have the empty nest? Suffering from it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, and your daughter's the same age, but your youngest. Yeah. But I just feel like the family dinner just replenishes your soul. If I could say that is what it does, it replenishes the family's soul so that you can make it through to the next day, which is what we all need to do right now, is just make it from one day to the next the best that we can.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
Any final thoughts for our listeners, Robin?
No, just, you know, what I said earlier is family dinner sometimes with, things it's hard to all get together. Make it a priority. Don't neglect this idea that we need to connect person to person with people. Whatever your belief about social distancing is or isn't, we do need physical touch. We do need to hug. We do need to be in close proximity to people. Whatever that looks like for you, don't neglect it. It will take a toll on your body. So figure out a way to make it work.
Mm-hmm. Well, always a pleasure. Always great to talk to you. Hopefully I get to see you while you're in Dallas. And if not, then next time, take care, Robin. It was great having you on the air today.
Okay, you too. Love being on the show.
All right. Bye. All right. Take care. All right, everyone. We've got Mo Brosette coming up next, going after what you want. He's going to tell us how. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, and I have Mo Brosette on the line with us. He has been in the health and fitness industry for over 24 years, and he is currently the Director of Mindset and Nutrition at the Adaptive Training Foundation, which is a Dallas-based nonprofit that leads disabled military veterans and civilians through a 9-week mental and physical training program called Redefine. And through his unique program, Mo helps these adaptive athletes overcome physical, emotional, mental pain, fear, and self-doubt. Mo is a keynote speaker on fear and an expert in human behavior, mindset, and language. He is the founder of Hunt and Prosper, a leadership and self-development company that teaches clients and executive teams to go after what they want. So Mo teaches self-awareness, self-confidence, stress management, and problem-solving techniques to overcome personal and professional obstacles and roadblocks. You can find him at his website, huntprosper.com. I guess it's hunt-prosper.com, or on Instagram at @Brosette_performance_coaching. Always a pleasure. Mo Brosette, how are you doing today, brother?
I'm good. My Instagram is actually hunt_prosper. The whole thing is rebranding.
Oh, the whole thing. Okay, so I have misinformation here. All right.
No worries.
So it's hunt. So it's hunt and then _prosper.com.
No. So your Instagram, you can't use a dash. So you have to underscore. And somewhere in the world owns the URL huntandprosper.com, and I'm not going to pay them for it. So the company is called Hunt and Prosper. The website is hunt-prosper.com. Then Instagram is hunt_prosper.
Okay, and it's not about hunting, correct?
No, it has zero to do with
not hunting. That's good. Well, hunting animals anyway. I was going to say we're going to have a talk, side talk about that. But so tell us. So you rebranded your company, and so tell us about Hunt and Prosper.
Yeah, so the whole concept of it is to go get what you want. You know, if you're taking it from the primal days where you had to go hunt for food, you had to gather, you still had to hunt for it. But you, in regardless of how you felt, what mood you were in, what was going on around you, you had to get up and you had to go get it. That was just means of survival. So taking that into the context of today and whatever your goals are, if they're professional goals, if they're relationship goals, if they're personal goals, athletic goals, you got to get up and you got to go hunt for it. If you want to be able to do some sort of athletic event, you need to hunt for a program. You need to go get your training, right? If you want a relationship, you need to hunt for the right things to do and say and think and feel. So it's all about not expecting and not being entitled to think that, well, I deserve this. Well, no, you don't deserve. You deserve what you earn. And you earn things by going after it, right? And that's what this is about.
I love that message. I do. I really do. Entitlement is such a turnoff. It really is. You know, I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts about this. I have to be very careful what I say because I don't want to come across like, I don't know. I just don't want to come across arrogant. And so many people are suffering right now. And so sometimes you hunt and you don't prosper, but that's part of life. Part of life is about suffering and going through things that, you know, it's like, you played the song Ronaldo a couple of minutes ago, Jackson Brown, and, part of the words to that song, I believe it was The Pretender that you played, and it was where the veterans dream of the fight, you know, is part of the lyrics of that song. And some of our most memorable parts of our life are the times that we're fighting for the things that matter and that fight for survival. And I think it's something that's underappreciated.
Well, listen, the great analogy is no one fell to the top of a mountain. And when you get to the top of a mountain, you don't talk about how pretty it is at the top of the mountain. You talk about all the struggles and the trials and, man, I can't believe we made it past that rock. Remember that thing? It was so hard. And those are the things that bond us. Those are the things that bring us together. And those are the things that make us who we are and make us stronger. It's the struggle that creates the strength, right? And and that's what this whole thing is about. And that's what I teach people. That's what I taught people with Brosette Performance Coaching, but making it more definitive of Hunt and Prosper. What do you want? What are your goals? Okay, now let's create a clear, decisive path using language, using fear, using all the tools to get you to that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm not, 100%. Well, the thing is about hunting too. I mean, most parts of the world have evolved from that being a necessity. But I think men still, I don't know. I'm not a guy, so I'm not going to, you know, pretend that I am or speak from a man's brain. But which brain, right, Mo? But the thing is, you know, survival of the fittest is something that's very real. And so if you're in a situation where you do have to hunt to survive, then so be it. That's just part of being on this planet, right?
Absolutely. For sure. Yeah. And, you know, okay. I grew up watching nature and I love animal films. I love the Discovery Channel. And it always brings me back to reality, especially, and it's always timely for me with whatever I'm going through with my business, with my evolution. You know, you'll see like a pride of lions or something like that, and they're hunting and they miss. And then the narrator says, you know, 90% of the times they fail. And like, but they don't stop. You know, they just keep going. They keep going
right
as a means of survival. And that's what we have to do. And again, I'm not talking about going out and killing animals. I'm talking about
right.
What the hell are your goals? That's what I'm talking about.
Now, I love it. And I love the analogy. I really do. I like the way you've connected all of this, because I think the messaging that you're putting out there is so critical, especially right now in what we're dealing with worldwide, with people really, you know, trying to figure out how do they survive? You know, how do they survive and get fit on every level, whether it's financially fit, physically fit, mentally fit, emotionally fit? It's difficult. These times are difficult, but these times that are difficult, like you said, and you know, it's funny, I can't pull it out right now, but I was reading Ryan Holiday this morning. I just got his beautiful leather-bound book, The Daily Stoic, with a message in it for every day. Do you have it yet?
Oh, yeah. You gave that to me.
No, this is a new one. You're right. Okay. No, you're right. I did give it to you. This is a leather-bound one. It's beautiful. It's like a Bible with, you know, like the gold pages and everything. It's so cool.
Yeah.
He was actually, I believe, I'll look during the break, that's one of the messages for today that we're talking about today. I'll go to it here in just a minute, but I love that we're talking about this because I feel that it is so important for all of us to have this survival mentality, if you will, to get through this, that we can get through this, we will get through this, and we're going to do it together. So let's go to break. More coming up with Mo Brosette, Going After What You Want, How to Hunt and Prosper. Stay tuned, everyone. We'll be right back. Everyone, you're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis on the controls, and we've got Mo Brosette continuing on. He has been in the health and fitness industry for over 24 years, and he is currently the director of mindset and nutrition at the Adaptive Training Foundation, a Dallas-based nonprofit that leads disabled military veterans and civilians through a 9-week mental and physical training program called Redefine. And through his unique program, Mo helps these adaptive athletes overcome physical, emotional, and mental pain, fear, and self-doubt. Mo is a keynote speaker on fear and an expert in human behavior, mindset, and language. He is the founder of Hunt and Prosper, a leadership and self-development company that teaches clients and executive teams to go after what they want. Mo teaches self-awareness, self-confidence, stress management, and problem-solving techniques to overcome personal and professional obstacles and roadblocks. And we all have a few of those. His website is hunt-prosper.com, and your Instagram is hunt_prosper. Is that right?
That's right. Yes.
Okay. All right. We got that straight. But, you know, survival of the fittest and going after what you want. So how do you go about going after what you want, Mo? And how do you determine what you even want to begin with?
Well, I mean, it depends on what your goals are. You know, what is something that you're searching for right now? Again, is it a relationship? Is it relationship with yourself? Is it confidence? Right? A lot of us are dealing with self-confidence issues. I can't tell you the amount of high-level executives that I work with that are very successful in business that have very low self-confidence. And that's one of the main things I help people search for and hunt for.
Well, you know why?
Why is that?
Because people are so critical now. I mean, everybody's a critic. I've never witnessed a time in the history of this country and my life where I've seen so many people that just put other people down, and it's so wrong. Everybody's so critical of one another. And I think that's one of the reasons you're seeing so much of this lack of confidence with people that typically, you know, have a lot of confidence because they've done well or they've lived well or they've worked hard. It's very difficult to navigate right now.
True. That's very true. And also there's, you know, we just compare. Like, you see, you know, someone sees you, Bernadette, and they're like, oh, look, here's Bernadette. She's got it all together.
Yeah.
She has a great outfit. She's got this radio show. She must be successful, right? But they don't know what you struggle with. So we oftentimes put labels on people where we just assume that they've got all their stuff together. And oftentimes what I found is that it's a lack of self-confidence because we don't like who we are in our own skin. We like what we're accomplishing. We like what we're able to do. But when it comes down to it, I don't have the confidence with myself. And that's what we have to work on first. So first of all, I encourage people to make sure we're hunting for self-confidence within you. We're hunting for satisfaction with who you are and understanding of who you are. That is what we need to go after first. And realizing that you are the best version of you possible right now, using positive language to love yourself, to give yourself grace, and then saying, okay, what are my goals now? Now that I feel better about myself, or as I'm going through this journey of learning to better understand myself, I want to be able to have a job that pays me six figures a year, right? Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like? So good, that's the goal. So what is the first step in order to get to that goal? What do you need to do? Let's go get that thing. And let's work our ass off to get that thing and then get the next thing and then get the next thing. So it's teaching people the step-by-step process of, yes, here's the goal, and now let's dial it back and work step-by-step to get there, starting with
mm-hmm.
you.
Well, and I think it's so important to do things the right way, to be the person, to be a good person, not just, you know, talk a lot of smack and, you know, words are cheap. It's an old expression, and they are, but action is what really matters. How you treat other people, I think, affects your confidence. When you're living your life well, you're confident because you know you're not going around hurting other people and being a jackass.
You know, here's one better for you. How you treat yourself is going to treat and give you confidence. And that's one of the things I love to give people. How long would you be friends with someone that spoke to you and treated you the way that you speak and treat yourself?
Right.
And
but I do
that,
think
that gives people a hard
look. Yeah, no, I agree. But I think that they go hand in hand. I think that, you know, you can't give yourself a pat on the back and treat yourself well, that it starts with how you treat other people. You know
absolutely.
What I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
yeah, I agree with that 100%. Yeah, definitely need to make sure you treat people like people.
Yes, treat people with the golden rule. Treat other people the way you would want to be treated. That includes gossip. That includes judging them, comparing yourself to them. Focus on yourself, and the rest will follow. You know. What do you do in particular? What is the process for going after what you want?
Well, first I write it down. I write down what my goal is, and then I start to. I'll go through some meditation. I go through some breath work, and then I start to give myself some creative space to go, okay, here's my goal. Now I know what I need to do to get to that goal. What's the first step? Well, the first step is this. Okay, how do I get to that? And I write all these things down, and I create a timeline for it. Okay, in order to do this one thing, I'm going to need to contact this person and to learn more. And once I do that, that's going to enable me to progress to the next goal. So it's about really taking it one step at a time and having patience, because that's a key thing as well, because we want everything right now. is understanding that this goal or whatever your goals are might take a while. So let's learn along the way, and that's what I do, is, okay, what step do I need to take today for the next hour to get to my goal? And then focus on that and nothing else. And then what helps also, and from what you learned and what we learned as well, with our good friend Craig Ballantyne, is something like the perfect day formula, like mapping this out, putting it on your calendar. I'm going to wake up at 6 o'clock. I'm going to do this. I'm going to drink water. I'm going to drink 16 ounces of water. I'm going to meditate for 12 minutes. I'm going to move for 15 minutes. And then I'm going to research this thing for 45 minutes. And literally mapping out your day. So when you wake up, you know, okay, cool, here's what I'm going to do today to reach my goal.
Well, yeah, and you said Craig Ballantyne, one of his most important messages that I absolutely love, and I hope he's doing well, is that you set yourself up the day before for the next day, you know? And so many people forget that. If you want to have a good tomorrow, you've got to set yourself up for it today. That's something as simple as being aware what time you go to bed, you know, not eating or drinking too much, getting some exercise in, keeping your house organized and clean. Something as simple as making your bed every single morning when you get out of that are all things that we can do, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things I started to do recently, because I'm rebranding, I'm working on some different projects, and it's a tumultuous time for everyone, right? And I notice I'm getting really tired, and I'm training for this massive event. The hardest thing I'll have ever done in my adult life is coming in December.
Oh, and I'm doing all these things.
It's called the GoRuck pre-selection, and it's got less than 2% pass rate. So I'm training for this, which is very physically and mentally challenging. And I'm doing this event called the Tactical Games, and I'm rebranding, and I'm doing these other things. So I notice myself getting really fatigued. And our fallback when we get tired is, okay, I need more caffeine. What can I do to wake up? What I needed to do, and you asked me what I'm doing for my goal, I'm allowing myself to be tired. What I'm doing is I'm not drinking caffeine. I'm drinking 4-sigmatic mushroom tea with lion's mane to help my cognitive function in the morning. And I'm drinking a cordyceps tea in the afternoon to help with inflammation and to help with fighting free radicals from the physical side of things. So I'm allowing my adrenals to rest and recover. I'm making sure that my nutrition is dialed in right now. So that way I know everything I'm putting in my body is there to fuel me and help me perform at the optimal level. Because it's not just about mindset. It's not just about setting goals. We have to look at this holistically. So I know for me, and what I teach people as well is, okay, cool. Let's look at you first. Let's put the right gas in the engine. So let's make sure if you're over caffeinated, if you're waking up exhausted and you're burning the candle at both ends and in the middle to try to get this goal set, that's going to be great. But what's going to happen when you get there and you crash? I want you to get there and be on fire. And that's what this is about. That's how we do these things. That's how you make sustainable goals. You don't want to get somewhere and go, man, I don't know how I did it. I'm going to get to my goals and go, I'm going to tell you exactly how I did it.
And it's so important because we're going to have obstacles. That was going to be one of my questions so that I could pull out of you the information about obstacles. We're all going to face obstacles. It makes me think of Ryan Holiday, the book, The Obstacle is the Way. There's no way that you can achieve your dreams without encountering obstacles.
Oh, Lord, no, no. And remember that when you have an obstacle or an objection, it's happening for you, not to you. Write that down. Every time something, quote, bad happens to you, that's happening for you. It's just an opportunity for you to see something in a different way. So expect the obstacles. That's where the growth really, really happens.
I love it. I love it. I can hear the music, so I'm going to have to kick the field goal. But always great having you on the show. I look forward to seeing you soon. You know, when we take it to the street. So I'm going to make an official announcement here coming up on the air probably next week. But Mo, thank you so much for jumping on the air with us today. Really appreciate you and your content. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. That's Mo Brossette, everyone. You can find him at hunt-prosper.com or on Instagram at hunt_prosper. Everyone, I hope you enjoyed the show. I always enjoy doing it, and I wish you all a beautiful rest of this day. Enjoy it, because you might not get tomorrow, and you probably will, but you might not. So use it wisely. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life.